The question is, what's in your wallet? Do you know what's in your spiritual bank account?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In tonight's message, Pastor Brian Grant brings to our attention certain things from the Bible that God wants us to know, and how it is that those things that we can know can have a dramatic impact on our expectations in life and for eternity beyond. This message is one in a continuing series Pastor Grant is doing that is intended to eventually take us through the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bibles, please turn once again to chapter 1 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, The Power of Hope. Here now is Pastor Grant.
Hetty Green is regarded by many as the greatest miser in American history. When she died in 1916, she left an estate valued at over $100 million. That's the equivalent of over $2.5 billion today. But as rich as Hetty was, she lived as a pauper. She never ever had her oatmeal warm. Not that she liked cold oatmeal, but she didn't want to spend the money to warm up her oatmeal. Her wardrobe consisted of only one item, a black dress. Every time Hetty went out, she wore her black dress, and she wore it until it was worn out and threadbare. And then, of course, she would change it and get another black dress. Her son injured his leg, and she was looking for a free clinic, and she searched so hard for a free clinic. It took her so long. By the time they got the clinic, his leg had deteriorated so badly, they had to amputate his leg. It eventually cost her life because, of course, to save money, she wouldn't buy the foods that were nutritious. No, she would have to buy cheap stuff. And so eventually her health deteriorated, and the doctors told her she needed to drink more milk. And so, of course, she agreed she would get more milk, but she couldn't afford whole milk. So she bought skim milk, but it didn't have the nutrients that she needed. And Hetty was rich, but she lived as a pauper. Do you know that there are some Christians who, just like Hetty Green, are living like spiritual paupers? The truth is, we are very rich. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7, the Apostle Paul tells us that God has lavished his riches and grace upon us. He has lavished it. And that little word lavish means to bestow with extravagance. God is actually telling us that he has extravagantly poured out all his spiritual riches and grace upon every single Christian. Christian friend, you need to hear that this morning, that God has lavished you with his spiritual riches and his grace. We are very rich. The question is, what's in your wallet? Do you know what's in your spiritual bank account? That's part of the challenge, that many Christians have absolutely no idea the wealth they have in Jesus Christ. And you can put this down: knowing our wealth in Christ enables us to enjoy our spiritual riches. Amen? If you don't know what you got, You can't enjoy it. And it is important that we come to know the wealth we have in Jesus. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul does in the book of Ephesians is to unfold to us some of our riches in Jesus. And I'm really hoping that you will not come to this series every now and then. Come on now. Because I want to go through the book of Ephesians, because it has so much to do with the believer in Jesus Christ. But if you decide to come every now and then, you're going to miss finding out some of the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 1, in the text that was read to us, and we're going to go there in a moment, but in the text that was read to us, the Lord, through the Apostle Paul, he points out to us three special things that God has deposited into our spiritual bank account. I intended to cover all three this morning, but in the middle of the week, the Lord turned the message upside down, and I had to start all over from scratch, because the Lord made it clear that he only wants me to talk about one thing this morning. And so this morning, I want to share with you the very first principle, or the first deposit that God has made into our spiritual bank account, and it's right there in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. And this morning I want to speak to you on the topic, the power of hope. The power of hope. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17. And the word of God tells us, as Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus, he writes and he says, I am praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And all I want to speak to you on this morning is that line in verse number 18, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Make no mistake, God wants us to know the hope of his calling. And that word know, I'm not talking about just having some loose idea about the hope of our calling. God wants us to know the hope of his calling. When we fully grasp the hope of his calling, it will energize us to live the Christian life. Did you hear what I'm saying to you? And you can write that in your notes. When we fully grasp the hope of his calling, it will energize us to live the Christian life. I want to share three aspects of the power of hope. The first, the hope of our calling gives us, get this, power for abundant living. Power for abundant living. Turn, if you would, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to read there just from verse number 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, and beginning at verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I don't want you to miss what it says in verse number 3. What it says about our hope. He has begotten us again to a living hope. Or as the King James says, to a lively hope. The hope that we have in Jesus is not a dead hope. Amen? It is a living hope. It's a hope that affects our life right now. This hope, if we really get a grasp and focus on this hope of our calling, it will actually change our perspectives, and it will actually energize us to live an abundant life. Now, the word hope, as used in the New Testament, many of you are aware of this, is not this used the same way we use hope in common language. Because, of course, when we talk about hope, it could be or could be not. You know, if you ask me, do six of us make it all the way next year? I'm going to say, I hope so. I'm not sure, but I hope so. They may not. But when the Bible uses the word hope, the hope in the scripture is 100% guaranteed. Amen? And so the Apostle Peter, as he writes here, he says, listen, we have a hope in heaven. He says it's incorruptible. We have an inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. Amen? And it is reserved for us. Aren't you glad that you have an inheritance in heaven that is reserved? Amen? It can't corrupt. It's not going to wear out. It's not going to rust out. It's there, and it has your name on it. Hallelujah. It's 100% guaranteed. You see, you can write this in your notes. The hope of God's calling is guaranteed. It's the certainty of increased blessing and joy in Christ, beginning now and lasting through eternity. Did you hear that? You see, sometimes when we think about the hope that we have in Christ, we think it's something only in the future. But this hope impacts my life right now. And the hope that I have in Christ, it impacts my life right now. It brings blessing into my life right now. It brings joy into my life right now. And that blessing and joy just increases through my life and into eternity. And my friend, if you're a Christian and you're not finding that experience, I would suggest to you that part of the problem is you don't know the hope of your calling. I am convinced that one of the greatest blessings that God has given us is hope. Sometimes we don't think of that. You see, there's so much preaching about name it and claim it, and wealth and health and prosperity, that somehow we miss the great blessing and power, the power of hope.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
They tell us that you can live 40 days without food, 4 days without water, 4 minutes without air, and then some people said, and only 4 seconds without hope. Now, the last part I know is dramatized, but the reality is, can you imagine life without hope? When you have no hope, you know, you throw the towel in. You quit. In fact, the studies tell us that when a person is depressed because they've lost hope, they're lethargic. They don't have much energy. But they tell us that a person who is full of hope is full of energy. They're bounding in energy because they are full of hope. My wife says, you got too much hope. But I am so glad that God has blessed us with hope, amen? That God has blessed us with hope. Our God of hope has given us hope. Are you glad about that? Are you full of hope? Come on now. Are you a Christian that is bounding in hope? Are you full of hope? I've come to realize that being full of hope is not automatic. And I don't want you to miss something here back in our text in Ephesians chapter 1. Because if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, as we pick up there in verse number 17, the apostle prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Hey, don't miss this. These people were Christians, and they did not fully grasp the hope of his call, of God's calling. Did you see that? It's not automatic. Just because you are a Christian, you say, oh, I've grasped the hope of my calling. I don't believe many of us have fully grasped the hope of his calling. And this is one of the reasons I heard a preacher just a few years ago. He was on the radio, and he was mocking the whole idea of waiting to heaven. He said, I am sick and tired of Christians talking about they're waiting to go to heaven to walk the streets of gold. He says, I want my gold now. He missed the whole idea. It's not just about walking on streets of gold. He had missed the hope of his calling. But listen, pay attention to that verse, and you will notice that what Paul is praying, notice what he prays for in verse number 17. He says that he's praying that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ the Father may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Don't miss that little phrase, in the knowledge of him. Listen, until we get to know God better, you will never grasp the hope of his calling. Part of our challenge is that many Christians are not pursuing getting to know God better. They're not pursuing growing in Christ. My Bible tells me that we ought to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there is an interconnection. First, we've got to grow in the knowledge. I need to get to know God better. And I need to ask you this morning, is that one of your main pursuits? Are you pursuing getting to know God? Or are you saying, I've come a long way. I can coast into heaven from where I am. Oh, may God help us. GCA, we change our slogan. And if you notice, the first part of our slogan is what? To know Christ. Because that's the most important thing, to know Christ. I need to pursue knowing Christ. I need to pursue getting to know him better. I need to get deeper and deeper into the love of Jesus. And my young brother, my young sister, I want to ask you, are you pursuing God? It's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's not automatic. It ain't going to happen while you have your Bible closed. Amen. It's not going to happen if you stay off of your knees. It's going to take time. It's going to take a change of your behavior. It's going to take a desire on your part. And I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to say to God this morning, God, I am willing to commit to getting to know you better? Are you willing? Don't raise your hand, but say to God, God, I am willing this morning. I don't want to stay where I am. God, I want to get to know you better. I want to get deeper into the love of Jesus. More love to thee, O Christ. God, I want to get to know you so well that I can fully understand and appreciate the riches of the grace that you have lavished on me. Hallelujah. It's possible. May God help us that we can all grow together. Amen. That you won't stay where you are. Don't stay in the lane you are. Don't be satisfied where you are, my brother. Don't feel good because of where you are. There is still so much ground to be conquered. But as I talk about the fact that this calling gives us power for abundant living, I'm fully aware that there might be somebody here this morning and you're struggling and you say, Brother Brian, I'm struggling. I'm going through some tough times. And I just want you to know, my friend, no matter what tough times you're going through, I want you to know that you need to hold on to this God of hope. We're preaching about a God. The Bible calls him the God of hope. our devotional this Wednesday. This Wednesday had a devotion, and I guess this is part of what God used to change my mind as to what we're supposed to talk about this morning and our devotion. And I'm going to tell you what it said in my words. Here is what it says, and I put it in the notes. When our hope is anchored in Christ, we can regard every setback as a what? A setup for a comeback. Amen. When our hope is anchored in Christ, we can regard every setback as a setup for a comeback. I thought that was such a wonderful devotion. Make sure you get one of these books. This is good stuff. My friend, right now you're going through that struggle. Don't give up hope, because God has a way of putting you in a little situation, because he has a bigger plan. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, I have some witnesses there this morning to the fact that God sometimes causes what seems to be a setback in your life, because he's setting you up for something even greater. He's setting you up for a comeback. Our devotional used the illustration of what happened the first Easter, when from all appearances the Lord Jesus Christ had a major setback. It would seem as if the plan of God had a major setback, because Jesus Christ was now lying dead in a tomb, a cold tomb. And even some of the disciples thought that God's plan had a setback. Hallelujah. God's plan never had a setback. It was only a setup. Am I right about it? It was only a setup for a comeback, because on the third day, Jesus did something amazing. Amen. Jesus rose triumphantly from the grave, and today he lives. Amen. Today he lives in the power of an endless life. And God wants you to know one of the reasons he brought you here this morning. Perhaps you're going through your setback. He's brought you here to just let you know it's a setup for a comeback. But listen, I don't want you to leave out the first part of what I said, because this is not a wealth and prosperity message. I don't want you to miss the first part of what I said. When our hope is anchored in Christ. I need to ask you, my friend, listen, sometimes if you're going through a setback and your hope ain't anchored in Christ, sometimes he's giving you that setback to give you a good whipping. Well, nobody, you got quiet on me there. Because sometimes we believers need a good. Let's take off the belt and go in the back. But my friend, this morning, no matter what, it could be that part of your reason is because he wants to take out that whip. But oh, my friend, if this morning you would repent and say, God, I have sinned, I want to come back your way, I want you to know there's still a comeback. Amen. Thank God. That old preacher, I heard an old preacher say, and I heard some young preachers say too, I've read the back of the book, and we win. At the end of the day, my friend, there is incredible stuff ahead for the believer in Christ, because our God of hope has big plans for you. And he told us in the book of Jeremiah, he says, listen, I have a big plan for you, a plan to prosper you, not to harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future. And my friend, God has plans for you. Boy, we sometimes I could get the young generation. Of course, us old heads need to get it too. But would to God the younger generation would really come to recognize that when God says, I've got a plan for you, a good plan for you, it's a plan you need to find out and seize a hold of what plan God has for me.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.